closing the door. Close enough?
Mm-hmm.
A little closer?
That's fine.
Okay. Parshas Vayera throws us straight into a very, very unique meeting between Rabbeinu Shleim and Avraham Avinu. Nowhere else, nowhere, in entire Tanakh, do we have a case where Kadosh Baruch Hu comes and makes a social call. Kadosh Baruch Hu either comes to give Moshe Rabbeinu a message, or he comes to give Moshe Rabbeinu a warning, or he comes to a Novi to tell Klal Yisrael about something terrible that's going to happen, something wonderful is going to happen. But for Kadosh Baruch Hu just to come along and to make a social call, hey, how you doing? Never, ever, ever has that happened before. And it never happened after this time either. In this week's parasha, we have HaKadosh Baruch Hu making a social call. Vayera Elov Hashem Be'eloinei Mamre. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to him Be'eloinei Mamre, in the plains of Mamre, Bo'yoshei Pesach Okel Chayim Hayom. And he's sitting outside in the opening of his tent in the heat of the day. Now, if we are talking about a very unique moment, then it would make sense for the Torah to describe exactly who this person, this wonderful person was, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu visited. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu come to visit somebody, it must be very, very, very important. Therefore, if it's so important, it would have made sense to say Vayera LaAvraham, the Vayera Elov Hashem LaAvraham BeElohim Mamre. It does not mention Avraham Avinu's name Bechlal in the pasuk over here. V'Yisa Einov Vayar. It doesn't even say anything. It doesn't mention Avraham Avinu's name. So why is it? Why is the main factor of the entire story missing from the very first pasuk? Says Rashi, Vayera Elov Levaker Sechel HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to pay a sick call, to visit him when he was sick. Say Vayera Elov. Who's Elov? Avraham Avinu. Why does it not mention his name Bechlal? Now, Vahu Yoyeshe Pesach Ol Kachayim Ayoyim, the Mefarshim explain, this was the ultimate Nesoyin of Hachnasas Arachim. It was Shlishi Lemilosoi, the third day of his Bris Milah. Third day of Bris Milah, as you find other places in the Torah, obviously is the most challenging time for a person. Like you find by Shechem, where Shimon Levi killed up the entire Shechem. Avraham Avinu is not a young man. Avraham Avinu is 100 years old. He's 99 years old. He's an old man. Third day of his Bris Milah. Kachoyim Hayoyim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took out Chamam and Artiko. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it hot. It made it almost like a certain level of Gehenim, the Mefarshim explained, tremendously hot. And he's sitting in Kachoyim Hayoyim. Vayisayin of Ayar, and he sees Shloisha Anoshim and Sovim Olav Ayar, Vayorot. He runs towards them, he bows down, etc., etc. So the Mefarshim explained that this particular part of the Torah is giving us an indication to the extremes that Avraham Avinu went in Hachlasas Orchim. And the Mefarshim explained as well that everything Avraham Avinu did, he got schar for directly. Avraham Avinu went and he brought them bread, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought us bread. HaKadosh Baruch Hu went and Avraham Avinu went and brought the water through a shliach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought us water through a shliach. Everything that was brought down in this parasha Avraham Avinu did, not only did it happen then, but it had consequences forever and ever. And therefore, this is a very, very vital mitzvah of Hachnasas Orchim. It's a very vital peruk that's dealing here with Avraham Avinu's dedication of Hachnasas Orchim. And ultimately, the idea behind this is that what made Avraham Avinu unique was his Hachnasas Orchim. In other words, the first Jew, the first semel of realism, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of appreciating and realizing that there's one Hashem, that was translated into actions of Hachnasas Orchim. And therefore, we have to, as Bnei Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov, try and emulate the levels of Hachnasas Orchim Avraham Avinu had, and that is the only way we can actually become and connect somehow with what it means to become a Jew. And therefore, I want to concentrate this year on Hachnasas Orchim. So we're going to get to this now.
Okay, fine.
So what's the idea over here? What is the key to Hachnasas Orchim? I want to give you two stories, three stories actually. One story, Rabbi Baruch Matcha Ezrachi writes in his sefer, and I imagine he talks about one very well known Machnas Oirech. Now, I don't know that it's this particular person, but I have a very strong feeling that it is this particular person. There's one fantastic family, outstanding family in London called Jackie Levison. Now, Jackie Levison is a Talmud of the Ponovitch Rav, an English businessman who opened up his home, him and his wife opened up his home for decades. For any person who wants to live in his house, he's got special guest suites, rooms there where people sleep, people eat, and they stay there for weeks. You know, I went to visit once to Moshe Aaron Stern's Achrayin Ivracha before I became a chassan, before I got married when I was a chassan. And I met him there, and the Gedolim, that's where they hang out. That's where the Gedolim, in the common state, they stay by Jackie Levison. He's a legendary Machnes Eirich. One time, somebody was sitting around a table, and he said, he goes over to Jackie and jabs him in the ribs and says to him, "Tell me, how long come and stay here for, before they throw you out, before they throw you out?" So Jackie says back to him, "I don't know, I've been here for years. They haven't thrown me out. I don't know. It seems they can stay here for a long time." He didn't even realize he was a balabais. He was so involved. He was so one of them. He so didn't feel like he was there hosting them that, you know, he felt, "How long come and stay here for?" One story. So it could be he's talking about him, it could be talking about somebody else. Rabbi Baruch Mordechai Ezrachi saw this and he said he couldn't believe this. He went to one place, probably this place, and there was a man walked into the kitchen with his cup of steaming hot coffee, opens the fridge, looks around, and slams it shut and starts yelling at this man's wife. No milk! There's loads of people here, there's coffee, people like milk, you're not fleishigs all day, you know, no milk! So the wife said, "I'm so sorry, I apologise, I really just got to get..." "I apologise, what's going to be in my coffee now?" "You know, I'm really sorry, you know, milk is milk, you know, it's a normal thing to have in the house, stock it, you've got visitors, you're supposed to stock milk." "I'm sorry, I apologise." One story. Another story, a man comes out in his pyjamas, 12 o'clock at night, storming down the stairs, "I can't sleep like this, I've got a bad back." "So what's the trouble?" "There's only one cushion. There's one pillow. I'd expect to sleep with one pillow. I will sleep with two pillows, at least two pillows. My back, my neck." "So I'm really sorry. Let me look around. I can find a pillow for you." "Hey! One pillow. Who sleeps one pillow today?" Anyway, looks around the house. And he comes back 10 minutes later. "I'm really sorry. You know, there's no extra pillows. The house is full." "What do you mean the house is full? I'm supposed to get a bad back. Do you know I can be paralyzed because of you? This is ridiculous." "So, oh, I remember now, one second." He comes back a few minutes later with a pillow. "So my little Yitzchak does need a pillow at night. He can say something to sleep without a pillow. So look, here's his pillow." "I should hope so." And he walks off with a pillow. Now, some of us would just take this fellow and throttle him. Just take him and throw him out the door without even opening the front door. Yeah? But that isn't Achmas Sarachim. So we have to understand that these people are not crazy. Those people who think they're crazy, those are the crazy people. And this is the limit of this week's parasha, is training ourselves how to at least want to get to that level of Achnas HaSorachim. Vayera Elov Hashem, says a Kliyoka. Avram Avinu had two parts to him. He had Elov and he had Avraham. Avraham is a Loshon of Shororo. Av Hamoin Goyin Esaticha. Avraham was a title given to him of power, of glory, of majesty, of strength, of recognition. But that was not who Avraham Avinu, Hashem came to visit. Vayera Elov Hashem. Hashem came to visit the Elov. What's the Elov? Him. Who was him? He was completely the opposite of Avraham. Elov was, as you see later on, complete humility. Vanoichi Ofer Ve'efer. Says the Apostle, who did Hashem come to visit? Not coming to visit this high profile Avraham Avinu, who's going to be the leader, the father, founding father of two world religions or more. Yeah, we're talking about the founding father of Anova, of the Elov, of the humility of him. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to visit. Vayera Elov Hashem. Hashem came to visit the Elov, the reality of who Avraham Avinu was, him, who he was, who his reality represented. The humility, the modesty, the generosity, that was Avraham Avinu. Hashem did not come to visit Avraham the superstar, Avraham the Hamoin Goyim. That was not who Avraham Avinu, Hashem came to visit, says a Kli Yoko. Vayera Elov Hashem, says a Parsha. How do we see Avraham Avinu's humility? The Pasuk says later on, Vanoichi Ofer Ve'efer. In Periyot Ches Pasuk Chav Zayin. Vayan Avraham Vayoyme Hinino Ha'al Tidab El Adonoi Vanoichi Ofer Ve'efer. Now what does it mean, Ofer Ve'efer? Ofer, Rabbi Isai, listen to this. This is godless. And that was the koyach of Avram Avinu. Ofor ve'efer. What is ofor? Wasn't ofor an efer? Ofor is dust, is soil. Efer is ash. Now, what's the difference between soil and ash? Both of them are not particularly things that are considered choshuv. So why is Avram Avinu say Anochi ofor ve'efer? I am dust and I am ash. Not only that, the pasuk says, the Gemara brings down the schus of Avram Avinu saying Anochi ofor ve'efer. He got two mitzvahs, ofor and efer. Ofor was ofor of the seiter, of seiter, where you take the dust underneath, the soil underneath, the stone that was inside the Azara, and you mix it up with the water, and that, with that you find out what's going on with the seiter, the ofor. And the efer is the ash of the paraduma. So there's chus of saying ofor ve'efer, that was chus of efer seiter and efer para. What is the connection? Why dafka those mitzvahs? What's it got to do with humanity? What's going on here? So, again, we talked about the koyach of Avraham Avinu as achnasas orachim, and the key to achnasas orachim is a noichi ofor ve'efer. Now, what is ofor ve'efer? Ofor is dust. Now, what's dust? But don't talk about dust. We're talking about soil, okay? Soil has no past. A piece of soil has no past, but it has a future. You can take soil, and you can plant something inside it. You can take soil, and you can bake it, make it into a pot. In other words, it has no past, but it can use it for the future.
I understand the future, but you mean it has no past?
It means it hasn't necessarily, it's never been, the potential, it's never been, its potential has never been used in the past. A bit of soil has never been used with potential in the past. But it can be used in the future. You can take something that has been virgin soil and take it and make it into something proper. You can make it into a pot plant. You can put plants inside it. You can take it and make a pot out of it. Okay? So it has no past, but it has a future. Efer, ash, is a complete opposite. Ash comes from something. You have to burn something to make ash. So ash comes from something, but has no future. You can do absolutely nothing with ash. So ofar and efer is saying, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I come from nothing, and I am worth nothing in the future. Ofar and efer. Ofar is I was nothing, and efer I am in the future worth nothing. That is a ofar and efer. What's the schar? Says the Gemara. The schar, they said, Noichi ofar, I am dust, I am ground, I am soil. He got the schus of Soita. Now, what's Soita? Soita is the power to identify the past. What happened? What happened here? Did she misbehave? Did she not misbehave? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you are such an onof. You have absolutely so clearly defined what you are by studying anova, I'll give you the schus of having an efer para. Now, efer para is the mitzvah of being able to identify what happened in the past. You said you're worth nothing in the past. Soita. You're worth nothing in the past. I will give you a mitzvah that actually identifies and helps you with the past. That is the offer. What's efer? Efer is paraduma. What's efer paraduma? Paraduma is not what happened in the past. It doesn't matter. I need to use this water now to make me pure in the future. And therefore, you're saying you're worth nothing in the future. I will give you a mitzvah on that schus that actually actually improves your chances, improves your status for the future. So Avraham Avinu was offer an efer. Okay? So the schus is saying offer the efer. I was nothing and I'm worth nothing. He gets a mitzvah that helps him in the past and produces results in the future. Now, what's it got to do with Anova though? Now, this is beautiful. And it's my vote, and I think it's absolutely emes. Take a paraduma. Take a paraduma. A paraduma, there's one, by the way, in Eretz Yisrael, I think about 10 years ago, they found a perfectly red cow. Did you hear about this?
Yeah. Really?
They found a perfectly red cow.
Except for two hairs.
Except for two hairs, even then, it's got to be two hairs coming from the same root. Right. A perfectly red cow, it was in northern newspapers. You know, it was a super cow. Unbelievable, fantastic, wow. Now, you take this cow, listen carefully, you take this cow, what is it worth during its lifetime? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. You know why? Because it can't work with it. If you put an oil on it, if you put a yoke on it, it's no longer qualified to be a paradumo. Therefore, during its lifetime, it's worth zero. It's worth absolutely nothing. This super cow is worth less than its old speckled black and white cow that has at least got milk from it. At least you put a yolk on it. At least it's doing some work. This cow, you do no work with it, b'chlal. Nothing. You can never have children. You can never have another. Yeah, because otherwise, olalel. It's all these halachas. It's worth nothing. But, you do what it has to be done. You take it and you burn it. It becomes the most valuable product in ruchnius. That's a paradigma. Take the eifah of a seiter. Eifah of the seiter, in other words, a paradigma starts off worth nothing. But once you burn it, once you take it, it becomes worth something. That's exactly what the mitzvah is all about. Taking somebody that's tomei and making them tohir. Taking something that is actually at this stage not very valuable and creating a valuable entity from that particular item. On the contrary, with a seiter. Seiter, you have to write it b'kankantoim. You have to write it with a parchment. Everything else perfect. It's got to be beautiful writing with dioi. It's got to be special. But again, it's got to be. It's very valuable. It can be read. It's a part of Torah. Part of Torah, it's a passion of Torah. With a star, you can read beautiful. And but the Maisa, even then, even with all its beauty and all its value, it's worth nothing until it's scratched out in a piece of water, in a cup of water, and made into the May Seiter. In other words, what's the idea between these two mitzvahs? They both have in common. They start off looking from the outside beautiful, but they're worth absolutely nothing until you eradicate what they are and make them into ash. Or made them into dust. What's the lesson behind this? The lesson behind this is so powerful. Avram Avinu represented Chesed. He was our first one of the Ovis who perfected Hachnasas Orchim. How's Hachnasas Orchim perfected? Through humility. Through taking what you have, taking a beautiful home, taking a beautiful Kalim, taking a beautiful Shabbos table, taking beautiful food, that itself by itself is worth nothing. It's a por adumo. It's worth nothing. It's worth nothing. Kosh Baruch is not impressed. Taking that and destroying it. Destroying does not mean you pull down your house. But destroying it means I disconnect with it and I give it over to something else. I invite other people into my house. My Shabbos table is full with other people that are eating my food. That is when it becomes beautiful. Onoichi ofa ve'efer means that you've got to take yourself and your koichus and eradicate myself from inside me and become open to everybody else and allow everyone else to benefit from my potential. That's a paraduma and that's a seita. Onoichi ofa ve'efer, ultimately, the humility is a key to achnasas orchim. As long as a person is a balgaiva, as long as a person has within him any form of feeling that he's somebody, it's impossible for him to have a long life in dealing with other people. The Gemara says that v'yashkim avrom aboike el amokim omer shom es pnei Hashem yitzes chov zayin. The Gemara says omer v'chelbe omer v'huna kol akiveya mokim netfilosoi elekei avrom be'ezroi. Anyone who's kiveya mokim for his tefillah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to help him. And when he dies, Oimrim Loi, we say about him, Ay, Onov, what a humble person. Ay, Chosid, what a Chosid. Mitamidosh Avram Avinu. He's a Tam of Avram Avinu. Dechsev, the Pasuk says, Vyashkim Avram Baboike, Avram stood up in the morning, Ve'ein Amido Elo Tefillah. Shenema, Vyamoid Pinchas Vaipal. Gemor Brochus, Davov Amabes. Now, it's talking about a person who died. We have no idea who he is. We have no idea where he comes from. We have no idea whether it's a tzaddik or a rasha. We have no idea. Says the Gemara, if he has got a mokim kavua in a base of medrash where he davens every single day, he davens in that place, it will not be a lie to stand up and say, I chosid, I onov tamidosh avram avinu. And that is what you can say as levaya. Rabbi Yitzchak, it's very, very dangerous to exaggerate by a levaya. Very dangerous. Let's exaggerate a little bit, but not a lot. To stand up and say, Tamidish Avram Avinu, I Chosid, I Onov, how can you do such a thing? Say the Mefarshim, the three Pesach Frank says, any person who can daven in the same shul, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, and still survive all the different gaboim and all the different people in the shul, and what the rabbi says to him, he doesn't wish him mazel tov, and he doesn't say hello to him, and he can still not be broigus, he is Talmidus Avram Avinu. He is a tzaddik, he is an onov, he is a chassid. Some people, you know, they move from one shul to the other, daven that shul. You know, they said Jewish Robinson Crusoe built two shuls. One shul he doesn't daven in. Yeah, why need two shuls? Yeah, don't daven in that shul. The idea of Hachnosis Orchim is to have a gewaldiga anova, to have so perfect an offer ve'efer that somebody comes to your home and he doesn't thank you, and he doesn't appreciate what you're doing, and he doesn't clear up, and he just grumbles and moans and yells about the milk and yells about the extra pillow. Doesn't matter. Ultimately, everything is here of mine is only for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, only for the sake of helping other people. Destroy who I am. Take the gadlus. Look at the beautiful red cow. Burn it. And that's when he come out with beauty. Burn what I have inside me. Burn all the gaiva. And he come out with a beautiful, beautiful cow. A beautiful, pure experience. That is the key to Hachnasas Orchim. Chesed is all about anova. Reb Shach, this is Yahrzeit. I think Tesvav is his Yahrzeit. Tonight's his Yahrzeit, I think. Mm-hmm. Reb Shach, Zeichet Tzadik V'Kodesh Yivracha. He once had a chassid came to his room, and people waiting outside, and they heard this chassid screaming at Reb Shach. He said over Dvar Torah and did not say my Rebbe's name. It's Geneva, it's Gezela, Gaiva, Bal Gai, screaming at Reb Shach. Reb Shach didn't respond. After 10 minutes, Reb Shach walks out of the room. People thought he was walking out to let the guy calm down. He comes back with a cup of tea. So you must have worked very hard. You probably your throat hurts. You hear, have a cup of tea. Yeah? Unbelievable. Anoichi of a wafer. Bunim B'Shchisra says, a person should always have two pockets. One filled with the Shvili Nivra Ha'olam, the whole world's created for me. Another pocket with Anoichi of a wafer. You've got to have high self-esteem. Know your gewaldic potential, tremendous potential a person has, but ultimately know that the only way to actually become useful in Ruchnius, to become Avram Avinu, is to work on anova. And a person not so nice, okay, big deal, who am I already? All my elements of potential ultimately is only to make his life better, to be make a Kiddush Shem Shemayim. Now, basically, this is all very, very nice, the person himself. In other words, we've been talking so far on anova, we've been talking so far about how a person should behave with themselves, how a person should react within themselves. However, there is a limitation to this. And the limitation is that a person may never ever allow his anova or his Hachnasas Orchim to affect other people, to affect his wife, to affect his children, to affect the Shalom Bayis, to affect the atmosphere in a home. That is very, very important. I could be the biggest onov in the world, but when other people are suffering, there's no mokum b'chlal for Hachnasas Orchim. And there's two rayas in this week's parasha. Beautiful, beautiful rayas. One raya is the famous vort of Yukach Noma Atmaim. Avram Avinu says to the Malachim, take a little bit of water. Ask the Mefarshim, Avram Avinu bought them the best steaks, the best wine, the best, you know, loshoi, neshoinoi, they brought the tongue of the animals, each one a whole tongue, chardel, freshly baked breads, everything perfect. They came to water, the cheapest thing, take a little bit of water. Why there, punk there, stingy? What's going on? Says Rabbi Sol Salanta, everything else, Avram Avinu, he was doing himself. Everything, when it came to the fetching the meat, he ran after the cows himself. The chardel he did himself. But with the water, who brought the water? Yitzchok. Yishmol. Yishmol brought the water. If Yishmol brought the water, I can't be generous with his expense. If he has got to schlep the water, I can't say, yeah, take as much water as you want. You're not bringing the water, somebody else is. You can't be generous in his expense. That's not Hachnasas Orchim. Rav Yisrael Salanti was very makpid on Tiras HaDayim. He once went to a one of these simcha halls, probably, like we have today, you know, where these places are not made for religious people, and they have these big bins, you know, with a little tap at the bottom, where you've got to wash your hands into this dime, and a little bin underneath, you know, little floating tissues in it, yeah, and you're supposed to wash your hands there, and then go inside to eat. So isn't that kind of situation where it wasn't running water, whatever it was, and he washed his hands with very, very little water. So Talmud said to him, Rebbe, what are you doing? Mitzvah Teresa Dain. He said, yeah, but it's even bigger mitzvah, but not Chaveri. Somebody's got to schlep these water, fill up the water, schlep the empty water. I can be generous man Teresa Dain on his cheshbon. That's not considered midas. That is not. Yukach no ma'at mine. Take a little bit of water. I'm not bringing it, somebody else is bringing it. Another famous story is Rav Salanter. He went to visit a very, very wealthy man. And the very wealthy man said, please, Rebbe, come to my house. In my house, we have Divrei Torah. In my house, we have Halacha, Hilchus Shmiras Haloshen. In my house, we have Hilchus Melicha Dunashit. We have all different Shurim, Divrei Torah. It's unbelievable. I'm telling you, the Rebbe will get such nachas from seeing what goes in our house on Shabbos meal. Rebbe said, fine, I'll come on one condition. You do it my way. And no questions asked. Fine. Makes Kiddush. Rebbe says, okay, fish. No questions, fish. He had the fish, a quick l'chaim, soup. No questions. Finish the soup, main course, please. Within an hour, everything was done. Mamish, they're ready to bench. They're benched, fantastic, fine. After the meal, the Talmud exploded. Rebbe, I don't understand. Divrei Torah, Shulchan Mesim, what's going on here? How can we have such a thing? He said, I'm not going to answer his question. Call the woman who works downstairs in the kitchen. The woman comes up, she's an almana. He says, Rebbe, this is the first Shabbos I can finally go home and be with my children. My legs from early morning, Friday morning, I wake up early, early Friday morning, and running off my feet to prepare these meals. I'm washing, I'm baking, I'm cleaning, I'm preparing the food. I can finally go home and eat with my children. This is the first time in years. Halavai came every week, Rebbe. You can make a long meal on someone else's cheshbon. This is the idea. Yukach no ma'at mayim. And it's an even more powerful thing. What is the greatest thing in the world? What is worth dying for? What is more important than life itself? One mitzvah. What's a person mechuyav to die for? Al Kiddush Hashem. Kiddush Hashem is the most important, most powerful mitzvah. It's more important than life itself. Now listen to this. The Pasuk says, this is Beis HaLevi. Unbelievable. The Pasuk Beis HaLevi says, B'yoyim higomol es Yitzchok. V'tav atelet Sora Avram ben, Sora had a child. Ani Avram vini to Bris Mila. V'yigdal hayelet perikhof alef Pasuk ches. V'yigdal hayelet, the child grew up. Vayigomal, and it was weaned off the milk. Vayas Avram mishter godol b'yoyim higomel es Yitzchok, and Avram Avinu made a big meal the day higomel es Yitzchok. Says Rashi, the pasuk before that said v'toyme mi milel Avram heiniko bonim Sora. Sora was meinik bonim. She was feeding bonim children. Says Rashi, how many children did Sora have? She had one. Says Rashi, heiniko bonim. Umahu bonim noshin rabim. What says bonim noshin rabim? What says plural? Says Rashi, b'yoyim he mishter. On the day Avram Avinu made this big meal, he viu hasorois b'nei mimoyim. This sorois, the very, very important people brought the children with them. Vehiniko isom. And Sarah said, I'll feed them too. Shohoyo oimrois, they said, lo yoldo soro. Soro did not give birth. The whole thing's a farce. It's a trick. Elo asufi heviu min ashuk. They bought this child, the abandoned child from the shuk, and they pretended that Sora gave birth to this child. And therefore Sora said, Rabbeisai, it's not true. I can take her children, I can feed them. And the fact that I can feed them obviously shows that I gave birth to this child. And that was an unbelievable Kiddush Hashem. Sora then managed to completely squash the myth that this is asufi min ashuk, and it could be clearly seen in Nes Min HaShemayim that 90-year-old can have a child. Okay? Asks the Beis HaLevi, or the Beis HaLevi Reb Chaim,
seconds.
Ask Reb Chaim Brisker. He asks, why did Sarah do it then? I want you to listen to this. It's the most powerful that I've ever heard. Why did Sarah do it the day he gomel es Yitzchok? If there's this element of Kiddush Hashem, Chilul Hashem going around, that Sarah in one move can show the whole world that it was not an abandoned child, but it was actually HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave her a child by merely feeding his children, why wait to the day that she weaned Yitzchok off? Why could she not do it the first day she had a baby? And the whole world would see 2 or 3 years earlier that there's tremendous ness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a child to Sarah who's 90 years old. Why do it Yom HaGomel es Yitzchok? Why wait all this time? Answers Reb Chaim is a Rambam. And the Rambam says, in Hilchas Ishus, the Rambam says, Harei Shirotso Ha'isho Lehenik Ben Chaverto, Perik Chof Aleph Halach Yud Beis. If a woman wants to feed another child of another woman, in Bano, Habal Ma'akev, the Baal can stop her. Ve'ene Manicha Elehenik Bno Bavad. And the Baal can stop her, can say, no, I only want you to feed my own child. Why? Because feeding another person's child can affect the health of their own child. And therefore you cannot force the husband to allow this woman to feed another child to get paid, because the husband can say, no, my own child will suffer. Says Reb Chaim, the whole world can be looking at Sarah, and they could be making fun of her, and they can be saying a Sufi that she took from the Shuk, and Sarah, one very, very quick, easy tactical move can show the world, on the contrary, it's from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's a Nes Golui, I had this child. How? By feeding them. But Yitzchok can suffer. The milk that Yitzchok will have will suffer, and she has no right to Mimkadosh Shem Shemayim when somebody else suffers. Kiddush Hashem, the whole world, Mimkadosh Shem Shemayim showing a Nes, yeah, but little Yitzchok's going to suffer by it. That's not what Kodesh Baruch Hu wants. A person can be an on-off. A person can bring in families into their home, and they can take in this and they can take in that, but Chas V'Shalom, if somebody else in the family suffer and somebody else is in pain because of it, you have to ask serious shailas whether that is whether you have to do that. Because if a little Yitzchok suffers, or whether Yishmael suffers, got to schlep more water, you can't come out mine. We have no right to be generous at other people's expense.
So it was wrong what Sarah did?
No, on the contrary. Sarah did the perfect thing. Only when he gomel es Yitzchok, when she finished feeding Yitzchok, then she started feeding the children of these sorries. Unbelievable. Kiddush Hashem, doesn't matter. But Yitzchok's going to suffer, doesn't make a difference.
Is it Davka way ever made the Mishteh?
It doesn't say that, so I made a Mishteh, because of that, but it worked well within a Mishteh. I just want to finish up with one very, very important, very, very important message. It's late, but it's very, very important. People, Lapin often speaks about this, people give kavod to people who look mechubad. People give kavod to people they need something from, or they feel honoured to be with, or they feel in some way special with that person. That is not Hachmasas Orchim. There's a famous story of the Brisker Rav. The Brisker Rav would travel from place to place, never wore his frack and his homburg when he travelled. He used to wear his little kasket. Kasket is like a little Russian hat. Looked like a regular, simple Jew. One time he came to a village, and it was late at night, and it was cold outside, and there's nowhere to go but this local inn. So he bangs on the door. His mama said, Connor, to stay outside, and he doesn't answer. Bangs, bangs, bangs on the door. Eventually, innkeeper opens him in. He said, what time do you call this? He said, listen, I'm very sorry, I really apologise, I've nowhere to stay. Please do me a favour, please let me in. I don't know, nowhere to stay. Sleep on a park bench, I've nowhere to stay. He said, but listen, it's dangerous out here, it's cold, it's you've got people here who can steal from me, please let me in. But I've got no beds. There's very important business coming in a few hours. You can come in, but you have to sleep on the floor. Okay, if nowhere else, I'll sleep on the floor. Fine. He goes, finds a little place, sleeps on the floor, and he's got a little light there. Took a little candle and wants to learn a little bit before he goes to sleep. The owner comes. What kind of thing is this? A library here? You're reading here? Put out that light before I hit you. So he says, oh, I'm sorry. So he puts out the light. Anyway, he puts out the light. As he's going past, the owner almost falls over him. You clumsy thing. Put your feet everywhere. Pull your feet in. Anyway, this is abuse going on and on and on and on and on. A few hours later. It was the base of Levi, sorry. Rebbe Aaron von Kudnov. And one of the Chassidish Rebbes came. And suddenly there's a whole hullabaloo, all the lights in the hotel went on. And there's the innkeeper put on his beautiful clothes. And he goes over to the Rebbe and he opens up the door. Oh, Shalom Aleichem, can I give you a drink? Please sit down. Oh, no, it's a little bit dirty. Let me clean this for you. He sits down. And, you know, and he can show you your room. He takes him up to his room. Can I carry his suitcases for you? He carries his suitcases up the stairs. Anyway, as he's going past to his room, the Aaron sees the God Lador lying on the floor. Yeah? The Beis HaLevi is lying on the floor. So what's going on here? You know what this is? This is a God Lador. What's he doing lying on the floor? He's a God Lador. Oy vey, oy vey. I never knew. I'm sorry. Please forgive me, Rebbe Yisrael, bowing down. I'm sorry. Oy, if I only knew, you should have told me. So Rebbe says, you know what? Interesting. I'm just going through the parasha, this week's parasha. Parshas Vayera. Why did Avram Avinu get all the schar and Lot got no schar at all? Avram Avinu was machnas oirich. Everything Avram Avinu did, for generations later, Klal Yisrael got schus and got schar for it. Lot was also machnas oirich. Lot took in these angels into his home. He's willing to give up his own daughters, and you don't see he got any schar bechalal for that. Why? Now what's the difference? So the base slave, you know, the difference is Avram Avinu did a chnasas orachim to people who thought were Arabs. And Lot did achnas orachim to people who knew a malachim. That's the difference. To do achnas orachim and to be kind and well mannered to big people, that's good. That's nothing special. Even Lot can do that. The godless is, the great thing is, to be kind and compassionate and warm and friendly and generous to those people who nobody looks at, who nobody cares about. Those are the people you look after. Look after those people who are trampled. Look after those people who look like they're dirty, they've got dust on their feet. Those are the people you've got to care about. That's Avram Avinu. A great person can be seen on how he looks after little people, thanking the waiters at a wedding. Ramesha Feinstein always would go when he finished the meal in the chasna, he'd always go to the kitchens at the back and say, "Gentlemen, ladies, thank you so much for the fantastic, beautiful suda you served. It was so beautifully prepared and so beautifully laid out and served. Thank you so much." The guards, you know, the shomrim in the makolets, the dustbin, whatever it may be, the lawyers, yeah, all these people, one's got to give them the respect. One's got to give them, even these people, one's got to, the godless is to look after those people that everyone looks away from. And that is godless. Avraham Avinu was kind to Arabs, but Lot was kind to the Malachim. Being kind to Malachim is no greatness. Therefore, let's just quickly make a revision over here. First of all, summarize. The idea of an Osos Orachim is that Yera Elov Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could not come to visit Avraham Avinu, the big, famous Avamoin Goyim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to visit the Elov, the Meichu of Ve'efer. Somebody who knew that I am nothing. Everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me. I have no past. I have no future without HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The schar he got from that was two mitzvahs that basically the only way they function is when they are destroyed. You have an efer poro and you have the efer seita. The only time they become beautiful and functional is only when they're destroyed. That is the koyach of achnas orachim. Chesed can only be done when a person eradicates the me within himself. And they realize that ultimately everything I have, all my potential is only in order for Kiddush Hashem to eradicate that and to build the godless and the beauty around you of spirituality based on eradicating who you are, and by doing so, building a purity of Eifa Par and Eifa Soita. It cannot be done on anyone else's expense. It cannot be done Yukach Noma Atmaim, if Yishmael is going to suffer. Even if it's going to be Tminis Kiddush Hashem, it doesn't matter. If a little baby is going to suffer called Yitzchok, it cannot be a Kiddush Hashem if anyone else suffers. That's not Achnas Orchim. And finally, Achnas Orchim is going to be done not only to people who look great, who look important. You've got to be respectful and compassionate and generous to those people who nobody looks at, nobody cares about. That is a godless of a Jew. If you don't mind, if I have just buried me just one more vote. There's a big machlokes this week's parasha between Avram and Sarah. Big machlokes Avram and Sarah, whether they should keep Yishmael or throw him out. And the Maisa, Avram HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Po Hashishi Vachriya B'neim, Po Kos Hashishi Vachriya B'neim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and said, Avram Avinu, you're wrong. Sorrow is right. Shama Bakoy, listen to her. What was a machlekus? What was a machlekus, Avram and Sorrow? So many of the Mephoroshal Chavos Chaim HaTorah says the machlekus was a machlekus to mashkichim in the yeshiva. There's one boy who's a bad influence. Do we throw him out the yeshiva? On one hand, if he stays in the yeshiva, he's in the yeshiva environment, he'll get better. And if he's out there, it'll be terrible. On the other hand, he's influencing other people. What do we do with such a boy? Do we keep him in, or do we throw him out? Avraham said, I want to keep him in. Being with Yitzchak will be a good influence on him. I want to keep him in. Sarah said, no, you've got to throw him out. We cannot allow this poison to rub off on Yitzchak in any way. Throw him out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Sarah is correct. Okay, we have to, it's all shadows have to be asked, but that is one idea. The Shulchan Aruch says, unbelievably. Unbelievable. The Shulchan Aruch said, now this is a message you've got to remember. There's a posuk by Eliyahu HaNavi in Har Carmel. Eliyahu HaNavi said to them, how long will you be dancing between two opinions? Im Hashem hu, luchu achrov. If Hashem is the right one, go after him. Im habal, and if habal is the right one, luchu achrov, go after him. What's he doing? How can Eliyahu HaNavi say, go after Baal? How can he do such a thing? Says the Shin of Rav Divrei Cheskel. He said over here like this, and this is a Peshat over here in the Pasuk. The worst thing for anybody is to have a false vision of who they are. Yishmael went to Shachris with Avram Avinu, Hashabbos meal with Sarah, everything was going fine, and then he was Mesachik. He went around in Gil Arayis, Shlich Soman of Eidazara. He went around and misbehaved. And then he came back in another Chavrusa, and he maybe learnt a bit of Shmaitzer, and then he went out again and did more Eidazara. That is the worst. That is a terrible, terrible thing. Eliyahu HaNavi says, you know what? If you want to go after HaKadosh Baruch Hu, go after HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you want to go after the Baal, go after the Baal. Don't stand in the middle. Because if you stand in the middle, you never ever do tshuva. If you think you're fine when you're not fine, a bit of this, a bit of that, a bit of tumah, a bit of tara, a bit of this, everything's, then you're not going to get anywhere. It's talked about by Rivka. Rivka had two children inside her, Esav and Yaakov. Yeah? So you went to Shem and Eva and said, yeah. One's going to go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one's going to go to Tarbus Ro. Ah, she's all happy now. What are you so happy about? So the closing of Ogar Rebbe. If you have one child, sometimes based on Avodah Zarah, and sometimes based on Medrash, that is terrible. If you have one child who's on one side and the other, that's okay. Why? Because if you're on the side of good, of course it's good. On the side of bad, he'll hit rock bottom and he'll realize how bad things are. He'll come back up again. Avram Avinu and Sarah was this argument over here. Sarah says, Avram Avinu, Avram, Yitzchak, forget about Yitzchak. Yitzchak's fine. For Yishmael's sake, throw him out of the house. Show him that he's doing badly. Show him that you cannot keep him in the house anymore. He can't come to Shachris with you. He can't come to Shabbos table with you. It's dangerous to allow him to be under the impression he's doing fine. A bit of this and a bit of that. Throw him out. When he gets thrown out, he'll realize, wow, I'm being thrown up Amr Vina's home. How terrible that is. I've got to do something better. I've got to shake myself up. And he did. And he did. Yishmael did tshuva. Yishmael did tshuva. This is a very, very important lesson. Again, halacha lemaisa, chas v'shalom, a person has a child at home, he's going off a derech, to throw him out of the home, is a serious shailus. Nobody can pass on these shailus without going to a rov and a mechanach who know the in and out. But the idea is for each one of us. Sometimes we've got to know where we're holding. A bit of this and a bit of that. You know, davening, going to shul, not to Shabbos, and then going to the cinema, and then sort of eating out, and then going to Glatt Kosher Hotel restaurant, and then sort of like hanging out, and then where are you? Where are you holding? Are you one side or the other? You know what? Make a choice. Either with Hashem or the other side. Because if you're on the other side, at least you do tshuva, you realize how bad you are. But when you have a little bit of both, that is a very, very dangerous part. And therefore, Avraham Avinu has to throw him out in order for Yishmael to gain. Sometimes, the biggest chesed, the biggest hachnasas orchim, the biggest chesed you can do is bring in the whole world, but throw out your own child for his own good. Because cruelty, for one moment, could be the biggest favor you do from him. Yishmael did tshuva. That's the biggest chesed. And therefore, kindness is not necessarily giving. Kindness sometimes means throwing the child out. And that is a very, very important lesson. Shulchan Aruch speaks about this in depth. Think about it, and as Hashem, we should have a true identity of what a Jew is supposed to be.
Okay.